and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington on this live broadcast from Studio 14. Here are some of the top stories making news across South Sudan this Friday, April 7, 2023. President Salva Kiir has ordered the finance minister to pay salaries of lecturers at public universities across South Sudan.
I contacted the Ministry of Higher Education, and the ministry went to the Ministry of Finance, and they are on negotiation. And the academic staff are saying they will not resume work until salary is paid.
And some church leaders in South Sudan say the signatories of the 2018 peace deal have done very little to implement the revitalized peace agreement.
Our message to the leadership of South Sudan is that they should rise up to the responsibility and take the challenges as part of their responsibility and keep South Sudan peaceful.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. President Salva Kiir has ordered South Sudan's Minister of Finance and Planning to pay February and March salaries and allowances to teaching staff at the country's public universities. Mr. Kiir made the decision after lecturers at South Sudan's public universities went on strike over salary delays. For VOA News, Rose KG Benjamin reports from Juba.
President Kiir issued the order after meeting the Minister of Higher Education, Gabriel Changson Chang, and the Minister of Finance and Economic Planning, Tier Tong Ngor, this week. The Vice Chancellor of University of Rumbek, Deng Manas March, says lecturers at his institutions will not teach until the government pays salary arrears for the staffs.
I contacted the ministry.
I contacted the Minister of Higher Education, and the ministry went to the Ministry of Finance, and they are on negotiation. And the academic staff are saying they will not resume work until salary is paid. The academic year is ending, so delaying the salary will affect the calendar and interrupt the examination timetable. The Minister of Finance is here to give us a definite response. As the management of the university, we are engaging with the Ministry of Higher Education to solve the problems of the teachers.
The information secretary at the University of Rumbek, Tieng Tonis, told this program that lecturers are also demanding salary arrears dating back to 4 years. Tonis says members of the staffs at the University of Rumbek are determined to stay off the job until the government fulfills their demand.
So today, there's nobody at the Rumbek, Rumbek University premises. Who is ever not worked since the day that our strike is not informal violence. It's our right. So, and we have been patient for the National Ministry of Finance to pay us since the day that the new salary structure bill was passed for all 5 public universities to be paid at the rate of 315%. But up to date, the implementation of the new salary structure was not been done by the Ministry of Finance. So that has taken us up to two months without getting a salary. And that's why we have raised our concern, and also that's why the General Assembly have made a decision to put down the tool in order not to give any services that they used to give, like have laid down their tool yesterday, and today non-academic staff have put down their tool of work.
Lecturers at the University of Juba, the country's oldest institution, say they start their strike on April 10th. D. William teaches at the University of Juba. He says lecturers have no other jobs to supplement their incomes, adding that the government should look into the demands of the lecturers.
More than 2 months, and you're supposed to be paid monthly. So I think it's the right for the lecturer if they're laying down their truth. So they are demanding within their needs. They are not asking much. Of course, all the strikes can affect both the student and also the calendar of the school. But I think the most important thing is that the size of the impact is met. That's the most important thing, because they have to be efficient in whatever they are doing. It's not about whether it will affect the calendar, but the lack of salaries affects the impact, so they cannot deliver the lectures. So I think the government should the university to continue to be open.
A third-year student of medicine at the University of Juba says the strike will affect him. Charles Aligo Alberto says students are the victims of the ongoing strike.
course, because what it will also affect us, and then our.
We have just started classes only a month, and it will affect us. And at the end, we shall be having exams, and it is not going to be okay. I want the government to discuss with the lecturers and adjust the issue of the salary to be on time and let them solve the issue.
The board of the university issued a statement this week supporting the move taken by the public universities to suspend all teaching until the Ministry of Finance pays salaries of the lecturers. For VOA News, I am Roskeji Benjamin reporting in Juba.
Chiefs from Twitch County of Warap State declined to sign a peace deal with the Ngok Dinka of Abia, saying some of their demands were not met during a four-day peace conference held in Western Bahar Al Ghazal State Capital Wau this week. For VOA News, Dengai Deng reports from Bor.
A four-day peace conference aimed at resolving a land dispute between communities of Twi County of Warabi State and the Ngok Dinka of the Abia Special Administrative Area ended without an agreement. Chief Teng Deng Teng, who represented the Twi community in the conference, says the Dinka Ngok community presented unrealistic demands during the meeting in Wau.
We were told that fighting must stop. We agreed. We were also told that all sides should move back and allow the buffer zone to be created in Anuet. We also accepted. But the Ngok refused to allow the buffer zone, and they also demanded that IDPs return to the area, and we said no. They cannot return without protection. A buffer zone must be created first, but they did not agree. So we said that there is no need to sign an incomplete peace deal.
Bulabeg Denkwal, the paramount chief of Ngok Dinka of Abia, says he declined to sign the peace deal because Twi community have encroached a net area which belongs to the disputed Abia area under the protection of the UN peacekeeping mission.
We have not signed the peace because Twi community demand that Anuet be evacuated and people move back from across the river on both sides. By the way, that one is not possible. We said if that is the demand, then we are not signing anything. We agree to a ceasefire. But that demand blocked everything, and we ended without an agreement.
Advisor for Peace and Reconciliation in Abia Special Administrative Area says the two communities could resolve their conflict in future. Chol Arithok says dialogue is the only opportunity for the two groups to end land disputes.
Still there's a hope because the peace process is a long journey. He and the governor were up, they are committed to implement the four items, the cessation of hostilities. They will come up with a new proposal or new planning based on what they discussed to be implemented and to be signed officially between the two governments.
Last year, dozens of people were killed and scores of others injured when an armed militia suspected of coming from Twi County attacked the Anet market in Abia. Official from Warabi State said some residents of Twi County believe Anet falls within the territory of Warab. The March 2022 clashes prompted President Salva Kiir to form a committee headed by the Vice President in charge of service cluster Hussein Abdelbaghi to intervene and end the conflict between the Ngok Dinka and the people of Twi County. For VOA News, I am Dengai Deng in Bor.
From Bor, we move back to Juba, where some church leaders are calling on the signatories of the revitalized peace agreement to implement the deal. The moderator general of the Assembly of the Presbyterian Church of South Sudan says the country's economic crisis has affected majority of South Sudanese who are yearning for peace. For VOA News, Viola Elias reports from Juba.
Reverend James Dong says the signatories of the 2018 peace agreement should implement the peace deal and restore peace in South Sudan. He says the leaders of the parties in the transitional government of national unity hold the keys to stability in South Sudan.
Our message to the leadership of South Sudan is that they should rise up to the responsibility and take the challenges as part of their responsibility and keep South Sudan peace. They should embark into the implementation of the RRC signed in 2018 in spirit and letter. We are happy also to hear that our president, Salva Kiir Mayardit, has repeatedly said that he is not going to take this country into war, which is a good statement. We hope that statement will continue to be the same and also realized.
Dong says the parties to the revitalized peace agreement have done very little while implementing the 2018 peace. He says church leaders understand issues affecting South Sudanese, adding that peace remains the key demand of South Sudanese.
We know we are passing through difficult times, economic hiccup, but the only thing that could wave this away is having peace in place. Because when we have peace in place, everybody would work independently and produce his own food. So I wish the South Sudanese faithful that this Christmas will not be just celebrated as usual. We should turn to God with prayer and with fasting that has started long ago and is breaking today, that it should be a meaningful fasting and a meaningful prayer with a change of heart.
Archbishop of Archdiocese of Juba, Stephen Ameo, called on the South Sudanese people to embrace the spirit of togetherness and build a new peaceful future.
I would ask our leaders, political leaders, our church leaders, that Christ, through his resurrection, can expel all our doubts about one another, about our political affiliation, so that we can see the fact that Christ brought to our lives as an event to celebrate together. As the Holy Father reminded us, let us be together. In spite of all what had happened between us, let us be together to reconstruct a new future which is in front of us.
The Archbishop of the Episcopal Church of South Sudan, Justin Badi Arama, urged the South Sudanese people to stop hating each other and instead focus on peace and nation building.
As we celebrate Easter this year, we advise all South Sudanese to leave behind all unproductive practices of hatred, divisions, and violence. Instead, to focus on peace, reconciliation, and productive works for the good of our nation. May the joy and blessing of the risen Christ be with you and your loved ones.
Archbishop Arama criticized a recent decision by the Church of England to support and bless same-sex marriage. He says the Episcopal Church of South Sudan does not support same-sex marriage.
It is unbiblical and therefore it is sinful. We declare impaired communion with provinces that embrace such practices. We advise all our bishops, priests, and faithful to only work and fellowship with those churches around the Anglican Communion that are genuinely Orthodox.
Arama stressed that the Episcopal Church of South Sudan will continue to uphold and stand on what he called the historic faith of the apostles and early church fathers. For VOA News, I am Viola Elias in Juba.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, health experts say hand washing can save life. Find out how after this break.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202-630-8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202-630-8011.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. South Sudan's Minister of Justice and Constitutional Affairs has directed public prosecutors in Juba to arraign suspected criminals in court to avoid overcrowding police cells across the town. The undersecretary in the Ministry of Justice says his team visited four police stations to understand the situation of suspects at these cells. For VOA News, Viola Elias reports from Juba.
Justice Minister Ruben Madol Arol and a team from his ministry visited various police cells across Juba town on Wednesday to assess the conditions of suspects in police custodies. The undersecretary in the Justice Ministry, Gabriel Isaac, says public prosecutors should not detain suspects in police cells for more than 48 hours without presenting them in court. He says his team found more than 48 suspects in different police cells in Juba who are waiting to appear in court to answer charges pressed against them. Isaac says the number of suspects with serious crimes record have reduced at various police stations.
Discovered that even the number of the cases have reduced, and even the major cases, whom we think that also is our concern, is also reduced. This will show that there are really things are moving in the direction that we are combating the crimes in Juba. And for sure, I will not estimate to tell you, but I want to tell you in general that, yeah, let us be optimistic that the major cases in Juba is almost reduced to the minimum.
The teams from the Justice Ministry visited Malakia Central Police Cell, Northern Police Cell, Gudele Western Division, and Munuki Western Division. Isaac told reporters the inspection also aimed at assessing conditions at detention facilities across the country. He says the Ministry of Justice wants to review cases to determine the fate of some suspects in police custody.
That the reason for our coming, that we don't want anybody to be in cells, somebody to be in custody without any legal ground. So we'll be sure that everybody is there, either is taken, if there is no solution for his case to be in the custody, let him be taken to prison, then to the court. That we are giving directives ourselves, and we are telling that this case to be referred to the court, this man also, this case to be handled. And all what you have seen, I think these are also the efforts we are doing so to reduce and to make sure that people also enjoy their rights.
Isaac says most police cells lack toilet, good air circulation system and proper accommodation arrangement, among others.
We have issue of infrastructure, mainly. We have issue also of capacity building, mainly. We have issue of finances also. To have fun, we have problem of facilities. Also, like, we take that issue of toilets also. We need also office spaces for the prosecutors and for the investigators. And those are the major challenges we have also realized, and we'll work on them so that we eliminate them and to resolve them.
Last month, the Ministry of Justice held a workshop with senior police officers to look into criminal justice system, accountability, and judiciary reforms. Minister Arol says institutions tasked with implementing the rule of law should take a critical look at the justice system in South Sudan.
We have to see who are the victims of this criminal justice system, who are now being involved with the criminal justice system. Where do you find them? You find them in the policers. You find them in the prisons. Apart from the policers and the prisons, there could be other.
Juba Central Prison, which is the oldest facility in Juba, has about 1,800 inmates, including women, men, and juveniles. For VOA News, I am Viola Elias in Juba.
Today is World Health Day, and one of the things that contributes to improving health worldwide is proper hand washing and drying, as it reduces the risk of infection. It is a simple task, but it can only happen with access to clean water. One inexpensive solution is the makeshift tap with clean water for washing hands. Joseph Reha is the Africa Region Program Officer for the international NGO World Neighbors, and he explains how to build a makeshift tap to VOA's Carol Van Dam.
They are made using a container, which is usually about a 5-liter container, and it's supported on two pieces of sticks, and it has a device that also made using rope and sticks. It's operated by foot. And using this device, you can be able to tip the container so that you can provide water for washing hands. So it's a simple device that can even be made by young kids in schools and in homes.
Who's building these things and who's providing them?
The tippy taps are, we train as well neighbors, we train communities, especially young children, to construct them. They're simple devices that can be constructed by kids as young as 10 years. And so long as they have a container of 5 liters and sticks which are easily obtained from the neighborhood and a rope, they can be able to construct the leaking. Basically provide training, working together with community volunteers to be able to train young kids to construct the leaking.
Are you seeing these in Kenya and other places? Are they popping up and in public places?
Yes, they are really popping up in Kenya, even in Uganda and Tanzania, where we're having projects. Because, you know, we're using the kids through the school health clubs to promote the leaking and for hand washing. And in the past, you can say 3 years since, they have been really become popular. Because during the COVID pandemic, hand washing was one of the things that was really being promoted. In recent years, also we have been seeing cases of waterborne disease, especially cholera, and we have been using these delicatessens to promote hand washing.
The key to it sounds like you've got to have a supply of clean water. So where do people get the clean water?
Clean water is from various sources. One is that there are natural springs that provide clean water, and World Neighbors has been also supporting in terms of rehabilitating the water springs to ensure that they continue to provide clean water all round. Also, we've been promoting rainwater harvesting, whereby we construct ferrocement support communities, construct ferrocement tanks to harvest rainwater, including even the rehabilitation of wells and digging of simple shallow wells that provide water to the community.
That's Joseph Reha, Africa Regional Program Officer for the international NGO World Neighbors. He was speaking to my colleague Carol Van Damme from Nairobi, Kenya. We'd love to hear your remarks about issues in this broadcast. My colleague Nabil Biagio is ready with this week's listener comments. Over to you, Nabil.
Thank you, John. Jacob Dior Machweng in Rumbeke Lake State says, "Dear South Sudan in Focus, I am happy that our soldiers arrived in the DR Congo after a long time from when the mission had been prepared. May their presence in that country be exemplary that South Sudan is stepping out from brutality to keeping peace by respecting the rule of law and being protectors of the vulnerable Congolese. We have been known for bad deeds and it is time to change that mindset." Peter Gony Anyang Majongdul in West Nile City of Arua in Uganda says, "The government through the Minister of Higher Education should address the striking teaching staff of the public universities such that teaching can resume and the students sit for the examinations." Mading Malual Alwong in Juba writes, "The pending reshuffling is the reason why our government officials are not performing their duties well so that the services can reach the vulnerable people back home. Every politician is busy getting something for his or her children because they think they will not be appointed in the next government. We are in sad times, but we South Sudanese have the ability to overcome them." This fan says, "Hello VOA, I'm James Mading Gola Cage in Juba, South Sudan. The fall of the South Sudanese pound against the United States dollar is due to the fact that our country, South Sudan, has nothing to produce and export except crude oil. We must encourage agriculture to counter this kind of hardship because of the dollar scarcity in the market." Joel Philip Kwan in Bor Town of Jongole State says, "Hello VOA. If the government of the Republic of South Sudan has announced free education, then the government should also think twice the increment of the salaries of teachers and their welfare at working places in order to give them a quality education across the country, so that the country should move forward for the betterment of the young generations to come after us and enjoying the good system of education in South Sudan. Thanks." This listener says, "Hi, John and Nabil. Call me Lemi Sam from Arua, Uganda. What makes me not happy is all about the South Sudan pound losing its value, which leads to a higher standard of living." Thomas Kuntoj in Old Fangak Payam in Fangak County of Jongole State writes, "A wonderful event happening here in Old Fangak Payam this week is all about eye cataract surgery. It's done by the Himalayan Cataract Project from USA, coordinated with South Sudan Medical Relief SSMR of Dr. Jill Seaman. 145 patients have been operated on, and their operations were done successfully. Millions of thanks go to Dr. Jill Seaman from the beneficiaries and the whole community. Matiang Malau Majongdul says, "Hello, Voice of America. Happy one decade anniversary to you. May you add me to your group to update me on what is going on in the country regularly. Thanks." Sara Nyoka in Elegu in Uganda writes, "I'm a very good listener of VOA because it's reliable, and I like it because our own son Tanza is a perfect presenter. There is no way I miss it. I make sure I live out what I'm doing and attend to it." Daniel Thon in Juba, South Sudan says, "Dear John Tanza, Kenya is a civilized nation. I wish they should seek to address their grievances in a peaceful manner other than destroying properties." Thong Chuni Yong Kwai from Juba, South Sudan writes, "To me, the deployment of unified forces to all parts of the country is a good move taken by the leaders. We need peace in South Sudan." This listener says, "Hello, John. I'm Jackson Yaba from Munduri East. The step taken by President Kiir is against the revitalization of peace agreement, and I'm not sure if that step will not get our country back to war." This fan says, "Hi, VOA News. I'm Ajang Deng Duot in Uganda, listening to you every time. Thank you so much. God bless your radio to get news every day. I love you so much." Martin Manuel Wugol in Juba says, "Hello, John and Nabil. Allow me to extend my best wishes to fellow Christians upon this great day known as Good Friday, and wish all South Sudanese in and outside the country a very happy Easter. Amen." And finally, this commenter says, "Hello, VOA team. I'm Asega Ludanga from DRC Congo. In the first place, let me take this opportunity to appreciate the service that you are doing. You update our country, South Sudan. Since I started attending VOA News from 2016 till now, I always love to listen to your program as a media personally. Thanks, VOA. The views expressed here do not reflect the views of VOA or of this program. We appreciate hearing from you. Keep those comments coming."
And I will insist, keep your comments brief, and we shall sample some of them every Friday. Our WhatsApp number is +1 202 630 8011. That's all we prepared for you this Friday. We now leave you with Ahmed Bremer and the song Mabruk Shabbos Sudan. Listening to Ahmed Bremer talking about peace. I'm your host, John Tanza, on this live broadcast from Studio 14 here in Washington. Don't forget to visit voaafrica.com for all your favorite programs and news updates. If you miss this program, go to www.voaafrica.com/South Sudan. On behalf of our producer, Kwame Ofori, and engineer, Chang, we wish you a good evening, and remember to join us again next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.